The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are, all aboard to the Saints game this weekend in New Orleans to talk about everything with the Browns. What do the next 8 games mean? What did Jed Wills mean? What does it all mean? We'll get existential with him. Albert Breer of the MMQB joins us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Albert, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Not a whole lot. Did you hear what Jed Wills had to say earlier this week in Berea about just some playing time and some things that have gone down?
I did not hear that, no.
No, that's good, because we're going to play it for you real quick. There are many more tentacles to this. He has like 7 questions and answers, but this is just kind of the beginning of him talking about the process that led to him getting benched. Here we go.
You started the first 57 games every time you were healthy.
Yeah.
So how shocking was this to not?
I mean, it was pretty shocking. I mean, I decided myself that I made a business decision not to play after the Bengals game going into that Ravens game because I was injured. And then the next week was when I received the news. So, I mean,
do you think that they misinterpreted the business decision?
I'm not sure. Maybe.
So have you ever heard a player use the phrase business decision to open media in the locker room while discussing a decision not to play?
So, like, I didn't hear all of that, guys, because there was a ton of background noise, but I think I got the gist of it, that he made the call on his health based on business considerations. Is that right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not great. I think that happens sometimes, especially when guys are in contract years. And certainly we're seeing lots of business decisions being made at the college level now. So these things do happen, but to verbalize it, it's a bad place to be when a player feels comfortable doing that.
Should the Browns cut him for something like this, or what do you do moving forward if you're the Browns?
Cutting him, I think, would be the wrong move. Because I think you still want to kind of give this thing a chance to rectify itself. And that's a really hard position to fill, guys. You know, I know Jed Wills hasn't lived up to all they'd hope he'd become, as their left tackle. But, when he's been at his best, he's been a pretty competent one. And it's really, really hard to find a good one. And I almost look at it like a quarterback, right? Like, you're going to give a quarterback a ton of different chance. Like, when you draft a quarterback high, you're going to give him a ton of chances to get it right. And I sort of think it has to be the same thing with a guy at that position, at the left tackle position, that you have to get it right. That you have to give it every chance to rectify itself and give yourself every chance to get it right at that spot.
Albert, we were talking about this Saints game earlier and how, quite frankly, this is probably the easiest game left on the schedule, outside of the fact that it's on the road here. And it just feels like you're coming off the bye. You've got rest. I think they're starting to get healthy at some positions. This kind of feels like a must not lose game, even if we're not going to call it a must win. Is that a fair thing to say about this Browns Saints game?
I mean, I don't know if must win exists anymore. I don't think they're going to the playoffs, but if you want to look at it that way, I guess you could. I think the rest of the year is important just to continue to, have the right culture there. And they have had a good culture there over the last few years, despite some of the outside factors that have come into the locker room. And I don't think that you get to the playoffs under the circumstances they were in last year without a good culture. So I think beyond like postseason considerations, whatever it is, I think having a locked-in football team is going to be is really important the rest of the year, because all that progress that you made in building it to where it is, you know, over Kevin Stefanski's first 4 years, can really be compromised if, you know, the team is just playing out the string and you have guys making, as Jed Wills said, business decisions on their availability. You know, I think you want to, at the very least, like, find a way to maintain the sort of environment and culture that you've had over the last few years. And, you know, to me, like, that'd be the most important thing. That'd be the thing that I'd be trying to really protect if I were the Browns.
How do the Browns, do you feel like they'd balance out the idea that Stefanski's got to win games? Like, he has to win games. But also, you are playing for draft position. How do you think that balance works? And how do we, as fans sitting here watching this, perceive some of their moves in regards to that?
Well, if you're Kevin Stefanski, you can't worry about draft position. It's not your first year. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like, I don't think that that's a consideration at all. If you're a fan, yeah, I mean, I think you certainly consider it. I think part of the problem here, guys, when you are talking about draft position, is the year that you're in also. You know, as I've started to ask around about next year's draft, it sounds pretty bleak at the top. You know, there may not be a quarterback worthy of going in the top 10. Carson Beck hasn't played well. I mean, Shedeur Sanders is a tad limited physically, and there are obviously questions about what's around him. You know, Quinn Ewers, is he just a guy? I think some people feel that way. You know, I don't think Cam Ward suddenly become like a high first-round pick after, you know, being a sixth or seventh rounder coming into the year. So, you know, I think you look up and down, you see that, you know, that element. And then even at other positions, you know, like Travis Hunter's an amazing athlete, you know, but is he elite at either one of those positions? I don't know. That's something they're going to have to suss out in the process. Tedaro McMillan from Arizona, the receiver, he'll go up there high. Is he worthy of that high pick? And then even the linemen, like, you know, Will Campbell from LSU, there are plenty of people that think he's a guard and not a tackle. And then, you know, you get Kelvin Banks, who got his ass kicked against Georgia. Mm-hmm. It's just like all of these names that, and I know I'm kind of long-winded here, but like all these names that you go through of guys that should be, you know, or have been expected to go at the top of the draft, you're really not seeing like there's a real difference maker. You know, maybe an Abdul Carter from Penn State, or, you know, Jalen Walker or Michael Williams from Georgia. But it doesn't look like it's the best year to have a high pick in the draft anyway.
Yeah, and we talked a little bit about it at 420, like that idea mixed with the idea that the four quarterbacks that played from this most recent draft class, Drake Mays looked great recently. Bo Nix was within a field goal beating the Chiefs. I think Sean Payton's got to be really happy with what's going down there. Jaden Daniels, we all know. And then Caleb gets in the wrong spot. Bears fire their offensive coordinator today. But it really does kind of feel like if you have the right offensive coordinator or the right head coach with an offensive philosophy, it felt like with last year's draft, Albert, they're able to make something out of these guys. And I wondered if that would maybe transition into this year's draft, where you mentioned like Carson Beck and some of these other guys. They're not the world's most talented quarterbacks, but if you have a good offensive mind, maybe they feel like they can make something out of it.
I mean, maybe. I still think you want a baseline talent, though. I mean, this is starting to feel to me, and again, I may have egg on my face in 6 months. We'll see. This feels a little bit to me like the 22 quarterback draft class, where that was Kenny Pickett and you know, it's Kenny Pickett and Sam Howell and Desmond Ridder and those guys. You know, like, I think that's sort of where we're at. Now, could that change? Sure. Could someone get hot over the last month of the season and that person be somebody? Like, Carson Beck's got, like, physical ability. You know what I mean? He's got traits. Like, you know, I would say, you know, Shedeur Sanders, like, has a lot of stuff that you really like. So, like, some of that stuff still needs to be kind of investigated and seen up close and studied and all of that. But I mean, right now it does not look like a very good quarterback class. And I'd be pretty surprised if we're talking about this quarterback class in anywhere near the same sort of way we were talking about last year's quarterback class when we get to April.
Albert, you've mentioned that the Browns, they're going to try and win here, right? What happens if they go, because this is a tough schedule after the Saints game. What happens if they're trying to win and they go, 0-8 down the stretch here?
Well, they'd have a higher draft pick. So you can roll the dice on one of those guys I just killed. I think that that could leave a mark with the program, you know, and I think it's important to remember, like, that this is a team that won in borderline impossible circumstances last year. You lose Nick Chubb for the year. You had, you know, you were down to your fourth and fifth tackle. You were down, you went through five quarterbacks. The receivers weren't healthy at points. Like, it was just a complete mess in so many ways from an injury standpoint, and they found a way to win 11 games and go to the playoffs. And so, again, you don't do that without good culture. And I think, you know, for all the stuff that's happened the last 4 years, Kevin Stefanski's built something in that locker room that I think, you know, has given them a chance to ride things out. And so, you know, if you can't show that same resiliency this year, then maybe it looks a little bit different going into 2025. So I think that's what's on the line, is sort of some of the things you built, the culture you built, and what it looks like in 2025.
Albert, let me ask you about the Bears and everything that happened with Shane Waldron. They're obviously moving off of him as the OC. Why does it seem like Caleb Williams is regressing?
And there are a number of different reasons. Maybe he's a little bit more raw than they thought when he was coming out. So, like, that goes to, you know, like the normal NFL quarterback things that guys who come from spread offenses generally struggle with. So, you know, it's calling a play in the huddle. It's making adjustments at the line. It's doing all of these things that you don't see quarterbacks out of that system doing. So as a result of that, like, they have tried to give him easy throws, easy reads, get the ball out of his hands fast. And, you know, I think to some degree doing that has taken away from his playmaking ability. So I think they're sort of like lost in the middle right now. And, you know, I think they still really believe in him. And it's not like he can't learn the stuff that I just mentioned. He can learn it. Like, he just doesn't know it now. And so that's sort of where they're at. And I think he's still going to be a really, really good NFL quarterback, but I think maybe he had a little bit more of a ways to go than a lot of people thought coming into the pros. And, you know, I think that part of the reason why you change offensive coordinators now is you're looking for a different sort of path out of that.
Albert Breer on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So, I don't know if you know this. The Ravens and Steelers seem to be really good at football. If you had to guess right now, who do you think has a better chance at representing the AFC North in the Super Bowl, the Steelers or the Ravens?
I mean, I'd say the Ravens just because I have more confidence in their quarterback. I think they're probably a little bit more well-rounded. The Steelers defense is played off the charts, you know, and the formula they'd be riding is a little bit more of like an old school formula to get there. I just don't know. Is their offensive line going to hold up? Is Russell going to look the same as the season wears on? Are they going to have enough at receiver? There are all these questions on offense. And to be fair, the Ravens have a lot of questions on defense. I have confidence the Ravens are going to figure those out, you know, like, cause they've shown a real ability to figure those sorts of things out, you know, over the years. And so I have more confidence in the Ravens to do it than the Steelers, but the Steelers have been really, really impressive. And I do think you're seeing some things from them and have seen some things from them over the last couple of weeks that, you know, like the ability to close games out, the big plays they're making, the throw Wilson made to George Pickens, the stop that Minkah Fitzpatrick and Devonta Casey made on Zach Ertz at the end of that game. Like, they're showing some things that, you know, should translate to January. It's just we have more proof of concept with the Ravens right now.
Albert, my guy JP over here drove around 30 minutes after dropping his wife and daughter off at dinner because he didn't want to valet park. He did find a parking spot. What would be the longest you would wait?
So, wait, he drove around because he didn't want to valet park. He drove around for 30 minutes.
I didn't know the parking would be that bad, though. Literally, it got crowded. I thought it was going to be like a five-minute deal. Albert, it took me a half hour.
Yeah, so what I generally do in that situation, like if I'm at one of my kids' tournaments or whatever, I will try to find somebody who's parked like in a random spot on the grass somewhere.
And then, like, if they haven't been towed, then that makes it okay and park right next to them. And I think everybody who's been in those situations understands what I'm explaining there. I don't know. I get real frustrated with that, guys. I hate, like, there is hell to me is a parking lot at a mall in December. Hell on earth is trying to find a parking spot in those situations. So I don't have as much patience for it as some people. I don't know if I would wait a half hour. I think it sort of depends on the situation. Explain to me the situation again. What was
it? If it helps, I didn't know it was going to be a half hour. It was Little Italy. It was packed, but I thought it'd be like a five-minute deal, and then it just kept going, and it just would not end. And I told my wife, I'm like, just order and eat. Just start eating without me if you have to.
Did you have to get creative? Like, was it just somebody up their spot you took it?
I circled around long enough, and then somebody eventually left. But it's going through like little neighborhoods of Cleveland, essentially, and it just took way too long.
Oh well, trust me. Like I lived a good portion of my adult life in like Boston proper, so mm-hmm. like parking there is a disaster, like a complete disaster. Like I mean, it's like $300 or $400 a month for a parking spot if you want one. And that's like not in a garage. That's like in a lot behind someone's building, you know?
Yeah.
So I actually lived in the North End, which is Boston, Little Italy. And I can remember, you know, like we would have, I would want to throw rocks through the window of people who are parked in residence spots at like New Hampshire Place or Rhode Island Place. So I've definitely been there before. And those areas, like those Little Italy areas that are packed with restaurants, are way worse than everywhere else, too.
Albert, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You too. Albert Breer there on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I think it kind of backed you up. It's a very frustrating experience. Do you feel validated? That sounded like a very condescending question. I meant it in a good way. Like, that's a win for Team Jonathan is a win for Team Nick. That's
right. But he also confirmed I just can't go to Little Italy on Saturdays now. That's just the new thing. We just avoid it completely until it dies down a little bit. He's going to avoid it completely.
We'll react to what our guy Albert had to say about your Browns next on 92.3 The Fan.
I agree. Go Cavs.
Yeah. Are you going to do the bit?
I don't think so.
Oh, see, that's...
I don't think
so. You can't take a pot shot and then not do the bit.
That's not a pot shot. That, if anything, that is going to the Fonz and saying, hey, how do you like my impression of doing A? And I'm not going all out because I can't do it. I can't do it. I won't do it.
You want me to do a Fonz? I'm going to do an A.
But that's asking the Fonz. Hey, can I do my impression of you? Can I do that for you now? Hey, let me go up to Taylor Swift. Hey, I'd love to sing Shake It Off. How does that sound? That doesn't sound well.
That's exactly what 90% of people would do.
No.
You've had this microphone. Now it's my time to perform for all these people.
No chance. You go up to Taylor Swift.
You would 100% do it.
But I mean, what?
You're the biggest ham I know.
I'm a ham.
In the room right now.
But I wouldn't go up to Taylor Swift and be like, I think I can do Bad Blood a little bit better. Let me go ahead. How do you like my version of what you do?
Yeah, no, this is Jonathan's version.
No.
No. This is not. That's what you'd be saying is, you've sang this 30,000 times. Now you listen to me.
Now, I could ask him if he's aware of how large it's gotten.
Phrasing?
I agree.
I waited.
I forgot who I was working with.
I waited.
That's on me, sports fan.
I gave you a chance. I like that there's just one guy out there that's like, I'm sports fan. I am the guy that Jonathan's talking about. He literally has a hat that says sports fan. What stood out to you about our convo with Albert?
I might have misjudged this quarterback class. I'm not sure yet. I'm not moving off of anything here, but I might have misjudged this one. You might be more right than wrong because it was a bad weekend. First off, for the Carson Beck community, it was a bad weekend. I heard Brock Bauer's name mentioned way too many times about pieces that were on that team that are now missing. It was a bad weekend for Cam Ward. It was a bad weekend for that kid from LSU that I just don't want to learn his last name. It was a bad weekend for a lot of quarterbacks.
Nussmeier.
Oh, boy. And in between the break, I'm looking up, and this just came across my timeline. I'm not, like, searching this out or anything.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, Couches, Stories, Grandma's Secret Pecan Pie Recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's Family Carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Todd McShay gave his two NFL quarterback comps for Shedeur Sanders. Any guesses? Do you have any guesses here?
I saw it, so I can't really. I don't want to spoil the bit.
That's why you're waiting like you have like a steak to eat in the corner. Like, okay, yep. You go ahead. You serve me up what this is.
I believe so.
A right-handed Tua and Geno Smith was the answer that he had. And then Albert's like, I might be wearing egg on my face. It might end up happening, but this quarterback class ain't great. Now, I will say this. Albert did also then say, I might talk crap about these quarterbacks, and that's one of the people that you guys end up drafting, so I might have to eat those words. But ultimately, it's not a very good class, even though he does believe that the Browns would eventually take a quarterback. But that's neither here nor there.
So, do you still feel like, because this was the 420 segment...
No, this was not the 420 segment. The 420 segment was the idea that all of these quarterbacks that you drafted this year all look really good, and it is... In many respects, if you have a good offensive mind, they're going to convince themselves that they can make this. Mm-hmm. They can make this work.
And you said that was the right theory.
I believe that's what the Browns believe as well.
Okay, but do you think...
I think if Kevin Stefanski is the guy, then yes. I think that you can draft somebody, and I think he'll be able to make it work.
Okay, because I think...
If it's not Stefanski, I got the right to rescind this.
You can't turn. It's not court. You can't.
And sometimes it feels like it with you.
You can't turn. You're welcome. You can't turn something that isn't it into it. You can't.
What was that? Sometimes you can't. What?
You can't. Well, okay. You could read between the lines. That sounded like another shot. I'm not trying to take these shots at you. It's all intentional. You can't turn whatever it is, whatever the objectifiable thing. When you see Joe Burrow, it. When you see Mahomes, it. When you saw Deshaun in 2019, it, and in college, it. Like, you can't turn not it into it. You can turn kind of like it.
I think you're looking at these guys as if everyone has to be Joe Burrow for it to be a success.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to go from
You don't have to be top three quarterback in order for it to be a successful draft pick.
Okay, so what is it, top seven?
I don't know.
If you're Kirk Cousins, is that a success?
I think Kirk Cousins, yeah. I think Kirk Cousins at the end of the day is a success. Yeah. Yeah. If you're in the Kirk Cousins territory, I think you picked a pretty good quarterback.
The guy who has moved on to two franchises have willingly moved on from him.
He's also made like $400 million in his NFL career. Like, yeah, he's been paying a lot of money to be a very good quarterback for a while.
You and I agree that Kirk is a very good quarterback.
It doesn't sound like we agree on that.
Where are the rings?
So your ring culture.
No.
You accuse me of being ring culture. You're ring culture.
No.
You're the head of ring culture
right now.
You're
not trying to turn this back. No. But the point is.
Where's Joe Burrow's rings?
Is
Joe
Burrow doesn't have rings either. If you take a quarterback, yeah, he's been to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he doesn't have a ring either.
And by the way,
that can't be the standard that you put out there, that you have to have a ring or it's a bust of a quarterback.
Can you win a Super Bowl with Joe Burrow?
Yes.
Can you win a Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins?
I believe you can.
Who's gotten much closer to that multiple times and who hasn't?
Again, but Joe Burrow, I already said, was not the standard. Joe Burrow isn't what you... If you are only drafting to draft Joe Burrow, you're going to be very disappointed in life.
See, you're at the starting line of this conversation. I'm already thinking to the end. And the bottom line is, we did it with Baker. At some point, really good wasn't good enough. So
I don't think Denver right now is looking at Bo Nix and saying, boy, that was a mistake.
Yeah,
I think they look at Bo Nix and they think to themselves, we got this. And a lot of the reason why we got our next Drew Brees is because Sean Payton is the head coach.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean it's going to be true 2 years from now. 2 years from now, they could decide, well, he's good, but he's not good enough. He's Jared Goff. He's Baker Mayfield. He's just the next. He's Alex Smith. He's the next guy that's just good enough to start for a while, but not good enough to win a title. And I just think, like, if the whole point of this whole thing is to get a franchise quarterback, then other than you literally need somebody to fill the spot, why are you taking quarterback to take a quarterback unless you think they can be listen, I like Kirk Cousins, but I'm going to tell you, 4 years from now, insert whoever Kirk Cousins
Nick,
is in this draft,
by your
and it
standards,
won't be good enough.
They have to have that met by the time they even get to the draft to begin with. By your standards, you're just never going to have anybody you're satisfied with then.
Well, no.
You're never going to find a quarterback unless it's Arch Manning who files the same profile as Joe Burrow and the same profile of you have to be a Heisman winner, also number one overall draft pick, and set up as if you would never allow yourself the open opportunity to even draft someone like what Justin Herbert was years ago or what Tua was years ago. You would never open that up.
Well, if you have a top
five
quarterback.
They've taken number one overall.
If you have a top five pick, should the expectation be better than Daniel Jones? Should the expectation...
Well, Daniel Jones isn't good at football.
But my point is, if you're already settling out of the gate, ceiling he might
you're
be
not
Kirk
settling.
Cousins.
You're not settling. The point
you
are, is you're drafting,
with a top
you're drafting
five pick,
a quarterback.
You are
no, you're not. You're drafting a quarterback that you believe has a lot of talent that you can get the most out of. That's what this last weekend was to me.
That's what the
it was
Giants
taking
did
Drake,
with Daniel
it was
Jones.
Taking Drake May at number three overall and saying, watch him develop. Watch us get the most out of these guys. Like, you're leaving so much to the idea that, like, they don't believe in themselves to develop anybody? As if coaching means absolutely nothing? As if
no.
You're just a product? Whatever you're drafted as is all you're ever going
to
be?
What's it easier to develop? A guy who comes in, is polished, ready, and everybody looks at and goes, he has a chance to be a top,
okay,
top 10 quarterback.
Okay, keep waiting for that. We'll be waiting for 5 years to draft somebody like that then. Like,
well,
you want to wait forever?
Just draft a quarterback every year with the first pick, because who cares?
You're just going to wait forever for this? We don't have all day.
Yeah, you have time.
I have till 7 o'clock tonight, but I don't have all day days.
The Browns have several years. Get it right. No shortcuts. Doing what you just said is another shortcut.
You got one guy every 5 years that match your profile, though. Like, one guy every 5 years.
There were four guys last year, according to you.
No, there are four guys that you can, because you have the right coach, you have the right everything, you believe you can get there. You said it yourself. You don't think Bo Nix, you think 2 years from now might be nothing close to what we've seen this last weekend.
So fine, three guys from last year alone. So if you just wait... Yes, good things, better things might happen than if you just say, well, we got Stefanski, why the hell not? Austin Carr, Mr. Cavalier, Cavs analyst, next on 92.3 The Fan.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.